As of 2017, over 30,000 people in Michigan are seeking treatment for opioid addiction. So some counties have started syringe service programs that give needles and medical supplies to drug users. But they're controversial. Some say they save lives. Others say they condone drug use.
We do not want to encourage the use of narcotics and other controlled substances. However, we know that people are going to use them.
Hear about this divisive new tool in fighting the opioid epidemic. Plus, Interlochen Public Radio's news director joins me in studio to talk about the work IPR reporters do and how you can support even more journalism as we enter the new year. It's all coming up on Points North, a show from Interlochen Public Radio, where we hear about life in northern Michigan through the news, the people, and the places. I'm your host, Dan Wanshura. Syringe service programs involve giving health care and clean needles to injection drug users. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say people in those programs are three times more likely to stop using drugs. But IPR's Max Johnston reports the state and county governments are sometimes ill-equipped to offer them or simply don't want to.
Angela Boger is 28 years old and lives in Traverse City. She's a recovering heroin addict. In her living room, Angela is rifling through a small blue bin. It has four compartments, each with different medical tools.
So this has my, you know, my blood draw needles, my butterflies for kids, cotton balls.
She reaches in and pulls out an overdose rescue kit with syringes and a few vials of a serum called naloxone.
These are the vial and syringe ones. So these I give to people that are comfortable already with needles.
A couple days a week, injection drug users come to Angela's home. She pulls this bin from her closet and gives them supplies like clean needles or fentanyl test kits. Angela is also a certified phlebotomist, so she'll draw blood and test people for infectious diseases like hepatitis or HIV. Angela volunteers for Harm Reduction Michigan, an addiction outreach agency in Traverse City. They give Angela the supplies and dispose of the dirty needles.
As long as my daughter's not here, I'm pretty much open all hours of the day and night.
About 5 years ago, Angela caught hepatitis C by sharing needles. After getting treated, she kept using drugs, but found a syringe service program from her counselor. There, she got clean needles and some basic health checkups.
Would you say this program, broadly, would you say it saved your life?
Definitely. If I would have continued using dirty equipment when I had hepatitis, I could have gotten so much sicker.
Eventually, when Angela lost custody of her daughter, she turned her life around. She's been clean for 3 years. According to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, since 2003, deaths caused by hepatitis C have increased by over 50%. And injection drug use is one of the biggest risk factors in spreading it. But syringe service programs can be a tough sell to law enforcement and local governments. The Grand Traverse County Board of Commissioners considered expanding their program last year. At a meeting in April, commissioners had to vote on using grant money to increase syringe services in Traverse City. Now, there's a federal ban on spending government money on clean needles. But in this case, the local health department can pay for other parts of syringe service programs, like more testing for diseases or even hiring staff. County commissioners didn't see it that way. Here's Commissioner Rob Henschel talking with a representative from the health department.
You need $50,000 to not hand out needles?
This isn't a needle exchange program. There's nothing on here that says that. I think that's what's in people's heads.
Well, it says syringe service program expansion on the agenda.
So
what are we expanding
then? It's outreach, it's education from the health department, it's providing vaccinations, it's getting people in to do testing.
Most of the commissioner's questioning was along those same lines. Several said they worried syringe service programs endorse drug use, and eventually the contract was voted down. Pam Lynch with Harm Reduction Michigan says that money would have been a huge help.
We could double our staff time with that, and we're unable to do so because they can't contract with us.
Zach Ford is with the D.C.-based nonprofit AIDS United, one of the country's largest funders for syringe service programs. He says they aren't a priority for most local governments. while the federal government spends their money for the opioid epidemic on rehabilitation.
A lot of their strategy around substance use has been pumping money into treatment services and criminalizing.
Syringe service programs don't necessarily fit in with all that. Ford says they don't aim to funnel people into treatment.
Then I think that people have a tendency to see the merit in treatment services and not fully understand the syringe services program aspect of it.
There has been some recent movement to expand syringe service programs in northern Michigan. Jason Elmore is the prosecuting attorney for Wexford County. He says he's tough on crime and frankly isn't entirely sold on syringe programs.
I have that bad taste in my mouth, the idea of giving people needles to help use drugs. Am I somehow aiding and abetting their use of controlled substances?
But Elmore says his office is flooded with drug cases year-round and strapped for resources. He says the nearby jails and rehab centers are full, so they have to try something new to get ahead of the opioid epidemic.
I want to stop people from using. And if maybe, just maybe, a syringe exchange program, as long as it has that rehabilitative element, then I'm in favor of it.
Elmore says if they do create a syringe service program in Wexford County, it's still months away from starting. Meanwhile, nearly 3,000 people died last year from drug overdoses in Michigan. The CDC also identified 11 counties in the state that are at a high risk of an infectious disease outbreak. All of them are in northern Michigan. For Points North, I'm Max Johnston.
This is Points North. I'm Dan Wanshura. Interlochen Public Radio News Director Noelle Riley joins me in studio to talk about why you should contribute to IPR. Hi there, Noelle.
Hi, Dan.
Noelle, our reporters are out in the field every week, gathering sound, rich stories for listeners throughout the year. Tell us about some of the stories the news team has reported on this year.
Of course. Well, the reporting that you just heard about the needle exchange program is sort of an under-the-radar type story.
Yeah.
It's confusing, and people take issue with giving clean needles to drug users. But reporter Max Johnston, he was able to clarify why people are baffled with the program. We've also done a number of stories this fall about the high water levels on Lake Michigan and how they're devastating the shoreline. You've done some great reporting on the topic yourself, Dan.
Thanks. Yeah, that's been really interesting to cover. And I want to point out, so has my colleague Taylor Wisner. She's done some great work in that regard as well.
Yeah, she just produced a story this week about how roadways are falling into the lake.
Yes.
All the way from down in Manistee up to the Mackinac Bridge. And I want to point out that we added a conservation desk to the newsroom this year. Reporter Kay LaFon did a number of stories outlining environmental issues that people around our region care about.
Yeah, and those reports have really been interesting. Tell us a little bit more about those stories.
Sure. Kay recently did a deep dive into what it would mean for residents in the Upper Peninsula if Line 5 were shut down. She focused on the propane needs in the UP. Almost one in five residents use propane up there.
That's interesting.
And, yeah, and we examined those needs and how it relates to Enbridge's Line 5. She also did a story about the restoration of the Boardman River since dam removal and what it means for vegetation along the river. Another story she tackled was about the deer baiting ban and what it means for chronic wasting disease in deer. You know, Dan, the ban has been unpopular with hunters, but the Department of Natural Resources says it's necessary to combat spreading the disease.
Yeah, lots of great examples there, Noelle. And of course, a lot of those features have been highlighted in our new show that we started this year, Points North. You're listening to it right now. And I just want to say this type of reporting and production takes a lot of resources.
Yes.
And listeners can directly support that type of journalism by giving a year-end gift to the station. Tell us how, Noelle.
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to iprnews.org and click on the red donate button. It's at the top right-hand side of our homepage. You just click on that, and it walks you through the process of contributing to our programming. And I just want to add that without donations from listeners like you, our reporting wouldn't be possible.
That's right. Thanks for coming in studio today, Noelle.
Thank you, Dan.
And that's the show this week. I'm Dan Wanshura. Noelle Riley is our executive producer. You can catch Points North on Interlochen Public Radio or listen online at pointsnorthradio.org. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. While you're at it, take a moment and leave us a review. That helps us reach even more listeners. Thanks, and happy holidays.